Blog Talk Radio.
Think about how many people look at reality of life as being a bad thing. You probably have to look no further than the way that situations and the truth was presented to them. When you present reality as being a bad thing or as an alternative to the good things that fantasy can bring, well, of course, which one would you choose? Would you choose in life to be hurt rather than to be feeling good or to be pleased? Probably not. Of course, we know that some people seem to be masochistic and whatever. And there's a whole nother psychological story that may go into that. But tonight, what we're going to talk about on the Daily Go Get-Em-ism show is the way that we relay what we consider the truth to be to our children. And whether that is the right way to go or is there another way that you can pad the truth. You know, if you can pad lies, then you can pad the truth. The truth shouldn't hurt. We say that a lot. The truth hurts. No. The truth only hurts when the lies have been presented in a way that is supposed to make you feel good. Remember, lies were always presented as the truth. They were never told to you in advance that they were lies. They were told to you that they were the truth. And that's why the truth hurts. Because we were led to believe that the lies were the truth. And of course, the lies that were told to us were fun lies. They were gentle lies. They were safe-feeling lies. The truth unraveled all the good stuff. And that's why the truth is the enemy of lies. People don't normally say that the enemies are the lie, the lies are the enemies of the truth. We say that the truth are the enemy of lies. Even when we say that, it makes it sound like the enemy was the good guy. Think about it. The truth is the enemy of lies. Sounds like the lies are doing all of the good work in the community, and here comes the truth messing up everything. The lies are the good party. That's the party. That's the fun. That's the get high. That's the we don't have to go to school today. Party Sunday, no school Monday. That's what the lies sound like. And the truth sound like, here come homework tonight. At the end of, just before we about to go on Christmas break. That's what the truth sounds like. And it's all about our presentation of the truth. But we can do better. Just like when we were lied to as children and we had to face that truth when we became adults or just before we became adults and we were made to believe that the realities of the world just weren't any fun. There could have been another way that was presented to us. And if we're smart and compassionate, we will figure out those better ways to tell our children things. So let's get to it. The reason that I named this show, My Dad Wouldn't Marry My Mom, is because I have actually heard adults use that as an explanation of why a step-parent, like a stepdad, was with the mom and not the biological father. Now, it sounds crazy and very cut and dry, but even if it wasn't a child, now, of course, you know that the reason that you would tell a child something like that is because you want the child to be on the side of the step-parent rather than the biological parent. Like, it sounds like that's giving the child an explanation about why their biological father may not be here or may not be available or may not come around or may not be accessible. Forget about him. You love your mother, don't you? Yeah, I love my mom. Well, your dad wouldn't marry your mom, but your stepdad, he stepped up into the pocket and threw your mom the marriage, and they are on a touchdown of love. They won the championship. So more than likely, if a father is in a child's life, you're not going to be able to get away with telling a child something like that. And the bigger problem that I have with something like that being presented to a child is because it's not the whole truth. A child doesn't have a stepfather because a father wouldn't marry a mother. How can you present something like that without even telling a child why the mom and the dad aren't together? They aren't together just because they wouldn't marry. They wouldn't get married. I mean, because the question should be, well, why was if a child is not supposed to be born until a couple is married? Well, how did I come along? So the real question is why the parents are not together. So you should probably step by step find a way to tell a child about how relationships go and how sometimes when adults make decisions about having sex, getting together, being together, moving in with each other and what have you, sometimes when those decisions are made by adults, sometimes they're done when adults aren't even adults. And sometimes adults don't make the best decisions, but they do what they think is best at the time. So although a child may be born out of wedlock, it should probably be explained to the child that the most important thing is that you were born out of love. I love you, your daddy loves you, and we are both going to do our part to make sure that you are well taken care of. But mommy needs love too, and daddy needs love too. And they could not find love with each other, although they found the most loving thing in the world with each other, and that is you. So mommy is with someone that she found love with, and daddy is with someone that he found love with. But the love that we found together, which is you, are something that we will get together with from time to time to make sure that that package of love that we found together, which is you, is taken care of. That's still the truth. You don't have to give all of the gory details. You don't have to tell a child that, well, he had another girl pregnant when I was pregnant with you. But that child wasn't born. They had an abortion. Child doesn't need to know all of that. It doesn't apply. Daddy used to beat on mommy all the time. You know, they were in an abusive relationship. A child doesn't necessarily need to know that. Later on, they can find that out. You know, if you want a child to know what your relationship journey is, and to also, you know, inform a child about how relationships go or some of the dangers that can happen in relationships. Or, you know, mommy cheated on daddy and the person that you thought was your biological father really wasn't, because mommy was out there doing her thing. A child doesn't have to know that in that way. Doesn't necessarily. You know. Or, well, there was some confusion over whether you were my child, I mean, whether you were your dad's child or the other guy I was messing around with. Child doesn't have to know that. Doesn't have to know it. That could have been the thing that destroyed the relationship between you and the child's father, but the child does not have to know that in that way, especially at the time that they are a child. It doesn't apply. Is that my real dad or not? So a father who would tell a child something like that, well, you know, the reason me and your mom ain't together is because she was messing around. You know, like, I really loved her and I really wanted to be with her. I even wanted to marry her. But, you know, when she got pregnant with you, there were rumors going around that somebody else that she was messing around with, and she was messing around with him, that you were their child. And so I couldn't forgive your mom after that. So I had to leave her alone. But, you know, I love you. And child don't need to know all that. They don't need to know that. You know, that's for people who don't really love you or care about you. That's for them. That's a story for them to tell, because people will tell that story. They will gladly tell that story to anybody who will listen. You don't need to do that, because the child doesn't need to hear that. My own father, my dad grew up without the guidance of his mom or his dad. He was raised by his grandparents. And there were always a lot of rumors circulating around that town, Rocky Point, North Carolina, around Wilmington, North Carolina. There were a lot of rumors that was saying, like, the father that my dad knew to be his father wasn't his father. Years and years later, I mean, my dad heard this when he was young. My grandfather wasn't around to quell those rumors. But when my dad would go visit my grandfather, if my dad asked about that, he would say, "Who told you that? You are my son. And I love you, blah, 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 blah." Turns out that the person that we thought was my biological grandfather wasn't my biological grandfather, which is odd, because him and my dad looked an awful lot alike. They really did. And when you see my dad's biological grandfather, who I never met him. My dad met him once, just before he passed. And he passed me, he was like 90, I think he was in his 90s. Now, y'all know my dad passed last year. He was 84. So, but, you know, a child growing up hearing rumors that, well, that's not your real daddy, and your mom was this, and she was, you know, like, that's not an easy thing for a child to deal with, especially a child that's dealing with the fact that neither one of my parents are here to confirm nor deny any of these rumors. All I have is my grandparents. And you know grandparents, for all the great things that people experience when they grow up with their grandparents or when they're raised by their grandparents, because people who are raised by their grandparents are shown a lot of love. You rarely hear somebody who was raised by their grandparents grow up saying, I can't stand my grandma. My grandma wasn't this. My granddad wasn't that. Don't normally happen that way. But one thing that grandparents can't normally be credited with is telling the whole truth. They ain't good at that. They are very good at padding the truth and giving you all kinds of wisdom that you probably wouldn't learn from your parents, because your grandparents are more than one or two generations removed from you. So they've already learned all about life, and they can tell you things from a perspective that your parents probably can't achieve in their maturity. Your grandparents can get things done that parents can't get done. They've slowed down a little bit. They've analyzed their mistakes. They've pledged to do better. They can, you know, they have that wisdom to be able to see the whole of a situation and to be able to push through. Only thing they can't do is like program a VCR or, you know, get the 12 o'clock to stop flashing on a thing, or, you know, work a cell phone past just dialing in and out and text messages. Some of them can't get the text message. But bottom line is, your grandparents don't always tell the whole truth to kids. Sometimes that can be a bad thing. Sometimes that can be a good thing. But whatever you tell a child, you probably want to tell the child in a way that they will be able to handle it for wherever their maturity level is at that time. You can't just give a child the beginning and the end the way you might be able to do with adults, because adults might be able to fill in the middle. A child can't do that. A child hears, this is who the characters are, and this is what happened. It's just like when we were learning about social studies. We took social studies and history, whatever they called it, in your elementary school. I didn't like history when I was in elementary school or middle school. Why? Because we did not learn who people were. We didn't learn how they were. We didn't learn what they did. We didn't learn how they thought. We didn't learn that they were actual people. What we learned is what they did. We learned their names. We learned what they did, and we learned the dates of them. We didn't know that they were the kind of person who liked, I don't know, wild cherry ice cream and would do almost anything for it. We didn't learn that kind of stuff. We learned that, oh, they were a great person or they were a not so great person. We, like, for example, World War II. I wasn't born during that time. So what did I learn about Adolf Hitler? That he was a terrible man who tried to take over the world and he killed a bunch of Jews. What didn't I learn in school? I didn't learn that his whole country thought he was great, and some people of other countries thought he was pretty great too, until he started smacking them around. We didn't learn that part. We didn't learn that a lot of countries still use his example of spreading propaganda and of controlling the masses the way he did, because he was considered a master at it. We didn't learn that part. Sometimes you don't learn that part until college, or sometimes you don't learn it until after college. I didn't learn it until after college, and I took a lot of history classes in college. But it started getting real interesting once I got to college. Like, hey, I never heard it like this before. So think about that in terms of a child. Think about that in terms of a child. When you don't teach a child how people are, how the world really is, and why people are the way that they are and why they do the things that they do, they don't have that information to process. So, yeah, it's easy to make a child who doesn't know anything believe that a fat, jolly white man who travels the world, all around the world on Christmas Eve night, delivering presents, you know, sliding down the chimney and eating cookies and milk. For all of the good kids, it's easy to make a child believe that because it's all fantasy. And one thing you don't have to do when it comes to lies and fantasy is give a whole lot of explanation. Because you, when you lie to somebody, you go straight to what you think they want to hear. And it works. When you tell the truth to somebody, you know that you're probably already telling them something that's going to go against what they want to hear, how good or bad their day is going, you know, things like that. But with children, we have to step lightly. We can't just drop the hard truth on them, all heavy. Drop it on them like a boulder or an anvil, like you know how they used to do back in the Warner Brothers cartoons. Drop the anvil on his head. Do you know how hard, how heavy an anvil is? Have you ever seen an anvil? Have you ever been in a barn and seen what you do with an anvil? That's hard to pick up an anvil. You know, blacksmiths use an anvil to straighten out metal. Anyway, that's what we're talking about tonight. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this your daily. Go get him is a show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Mism Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also tonight on the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. We are talking about my dad wouldn't marry my mom and other bad ways to tell kids things. There are a lot of bad ways to tell kids things. You can really mess up the mind of queens and kings, and you can set them all straight and make sure they live a world without hate. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't recognize people for who they are. If you're a star, you can still weave through all the static and make sure you keep your brain on automatic, and you can process information fast because you're smart enough to do that. Something for that ass. All right, y'all. So, my mom wouldn't marry my dad wouldn't marry my mom. Not a good thing. You were a mistake. How many children were told that they were a mistake? Now, a lot of kids got over it, just to keep it a buck. A lot of kids found out that they was a mistake. They was like, I don't care what a mistake was. I know all about mistakes. I got my ass whooped for some mistakes that I made, and I've also been excused for some of the mistakes that I've made. So I can understand a mistake. See, when you tell a child that they were born by mistake, or they were created by mistake, or they were here by mistake, you're not telling them enough if you stop right there. It's probably better to say, well, listen, me and you were an unplanned pregnancy, but you were definitely the desired result. Unplanned pregnancy, desired result. I couldn't wait till you got here for real, yo. Yo, I'm so glad that you was born. Yo, anybody try to toot your horn, yo. Yeah, you were a mistake, but best mistake that ever made, for real, shade. It's something that I will not throw. I'm so glad that you're here. Love you to death. For real, yo. You were an unplanned pregnancy, but you were the desired result. Me and mommy, we was kind of getting it on the back seat of a Chevy. We had been drinking that nine. You know, neither one of us had our own place, but we did have a car. And so what we did was, child don't even know all that. Only thing a child needs to know is that they came, you know, that regardless of how you got here, regardless of how a lot of things get here, the future held a place for you. And we are more than delighted that the place that the future held was with you and you being in it. So, yeah. Shoot. I've heard people tell their kids that they were a mistake and the parents were still together. Parents will say a whole lot of mean, irresponsible things when they are upset with another parent or when they are going through stressful situations or when they just are not representing the way that they should represent. It's a problem. It's a problem. But there is a right way and a wrong way to tell children things. But you have to probably think about how something would make you feel if it was presented to you in a certain type of way. And sometimes we as adults fail to do that. Well, let me ask y'all this, though. Let me ask y'all this. And you can be real about it. Because whether you believe in teaching your children about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, or biological parents and siblings, if, let's say, I ain't gonna sugarcoat all of this. We got to be mindful of the time here. Do you think it's okay for a brother or a sister or an aunt or uncle or cousin to tell a child that there is no Santa Claus if the parents have taught the child that there is a Santa Claus? It can be a sensitive subject. Do you think it's okay? Is it all right for that to occur? If the parents have told the child, yes, you know, there is a Santa Claus and we're going to go to the mall this week and you're going to sit on his lap, and since you've been good this year, you know, Santa will probably bring you everything that you wanted and all of that kind of stuff. Do you think it's okay for an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or somebody to come along and be like, there is no such thing as a Santa Claus, so I don't care whose lap you sit on. I don't care what Santa Claus told you. I don't care what somebody promised you. You know, the reason that you're going to get anything this year is because we went to the store and bought it. From that same list that you sent to the North Pole, we got a copy of that list, and we got everything on there that we could afford. Is that okay? In honor of protecting the sanctity of the truth with the child, is that okay? What do y'all think? Because, you know, many people have had to deal with that situation. Now, some people might say, well, you know, if that's what the parents want the child to believe, then you got to let them live, whether you believe in it or not. And other people might say, no, it's okay for you to go ahead and tell the truth, because if you lie about Santa Claus, you'll lie about paternity. You'll lie about the other kids. You'll lie about this. You'll lie about that. What y'all think about that, though? You know, because so I've heard it said that teaching your kids about Santa Claus, that's protecting their innocence, because you only get that innocence. And I struggle with the word innocence. I'm not sure what that is supposed to mean. Protecting your innocence. So you should believing in Santa Claus and fairy tales and stuff like that, that's your innocence. Innocence, is innocence synonymous with ignorance? Does innocence mean that you're protecting the child's right not to know or to be uninformed? Let me know. Okay. Carol says, no, I don't overstep my authority with my children. Stay in your own house. Okay. TK Wright says, sometimes that same aunt, uncle, cousin will tell the child that their daddy ain't their daddy. It's not their place to say ish. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max, and chill. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Bow, she's about to turn it out. And also, Emma Dunlap was good. Thanks for filling on into the gap. And Mia Cunningham, got that, get the got. Thanks for coming on through. Let me see. Mia says, even though I don't lie to my children about that BS, but if I did tell my children that Santa is really... Santa is real, and someone else tells them otherwise, we fighting. I raise my children, not anyone else. I could dig it. Me also says, same uncle that's telling Santa isn't real, be the same ones touching him. I was waiting for somebody to go there. Like, they want to tell you the truth about that, but they want to hide the fact that they doing that other foul stuff. But we have to take into consideration that might be another alternative reality of the situation. If we say that it's all right to lie to our children in one way, are we giving other people the green light to lie about other things to our children and to ourselves? Well, since we all into this fantasy, yeah, I ain't a drunk. Your mom ain't a druggie. She also not a hoe. I ain't out there. I'm not spreading disease. I ain't never told no lies. And everything is all good. I ain't never touched no kids. I mean, I touched them, but not in no bad way. Or it would be better for me to do it than for somebody else that don't care about them or love them to do it. Yeah, people get ridiculous when it comes to telling lies or when it comes to not dealing with the truth. There's a difference between telling lies and not dealing with the truth. But when we say there are bad ways to tell kids things, there really are. You know, because, you know, what they say, what's that word that I'm always accused of? Being brutally honest. Yeah, brutally honest. What is being brutally honest? I've always taken issue with people saying that I'm brutally honest. Because I'm like, what's the opposite of that? Probably compulsively lying. Being a compulsive liar. That would have to be close to the opposite of being brutally honest. Like, here's the hard truth. Boom. But once again, the truth only hurts when the lies have been made to make you feel so good. The lies have been told to make you feel so good. That's the only time the truth hurts. If you tell the truth first, it doesn't hurt. Because now you're dealing with the reality of the situation and you can start to plan around it. A lot of people don't see it that way. And I get it. I get it. Do I accept it? Probably not. But I 100% get it. And it's definitely something we got dealt with, you know what I'm saying? It's something we got dealt with. But yeah, being brutally honest. There would be no such thing as brutal honesty if people were honest in the beginning. Or people were truthful, responsibly truthful in the beginning. And with children, you have to be that way. Like, you don't want to tell a child, well, yeah, you have to get your hair done this way or you're going to be ugly. No, that's not it. That's not it. You don't have to do that. You can just say, we're going to do your hair nice because you'll look pretty. Or you'll be handsome. or it's important to present yourself in a certain type of way because you may be able to get things. People will respect you. It'll make your life easier. You know, if you don't get your hair done or if you don't let me comb your hair, you're going to be running around here like a little nappy-head, ugly little boy or girl. No brutal honesty. Just be responsibly honest. Be responsibly truthful. They don't have to get all of the extras. See, when you go buy an ice cream cone, sometimes you just want the ice cream. You don't always want the jimmies. You don't always want the nuts. You don't always want the caramel. You don't always want the chocolate and the strawberry, all the toppings. You don't always want that. Sometimes you just want a nice little soft serve ice cream from McDonald's when the machine is working or from the Mr. Softy truck or wherever. That's all you want. No extras. Just want a little soft serve. You ain't have to put all that other stuff on it. I'm not in the mood for all of that. I don't even like all that kind of stuff. That might be the way you feel. Or there may be times when you are in the mood for those things. But that's for your determination. So with a child, you don't need to feed them more than they can eat. And for their maturity level, they can only eat but so much of information. Whether it's the truth or lies, there's only so much information that they are prepared to ingest. The last thing you want is for your children to grow up thinking that the world is just an ugly, nasty, cruel place and there's nobody that you can trust because nobody is worthy of trust. You don't want your children to look at the world like that, and they don't have to if you are a responsible parent. Of course, we're parents and we're humans, we're adults, we're human. We get angry, we say things out of anger, sometimes we apologize, sometimes we double down on the irresponsibility. Sometimes we double down on the messiness. Sometimes we do. And the way that we justify it is, well, they had it coming. Well, they hit me first. Well, they shouldn't have done this, that, and the third. Well, they was wrong, so this is what they get. It's karma. God don't like ugly. So he sent me here to pretty things up. Sometimes we do that as adults. But our children are watching us. Our babies are looking. You good with that? You good? My nigga, you good? We got to watch out. We got to watch out. And we will watch out if we care about our kids. And there are certain things that we do that shows that we care about our children. And there are certain things that we do that doesn't show that as well. And sometimes we still stick to the script. Our pride and ego tells us that we should stick to that script sometimes rather than to go ahead and make it right when we were definitely poised, ready, and equipped to just go ahead and make it right. I want to thank y'all for listening to the show. We ain't done, but I want to thank y'all for listening to the show in advance. And I also want to encourage y'all to like the show. Hit that like button, y'all. Go ahead, mash it, mash it, mash it, push it, smash it. Share the show, and please subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. It's Power Monday all up in your area. The Daily Go Get a Business Show, and we are talking about my dad wouldn't marry my mom and other bad ways to tell kids things. Yeah, my dad wouldn't marry my mom. That's why my stepdad is here. Because my dad wouldn't marry my mom. Crazy. That's crazy. Your dad might not have married your mom, but your dad and your mom might still be together. Shout out to all of the parents that have been acting like they've been married for like 20, 30 years. Never made it final. Some of y'all parents was married to other people, and y'all... You know, y'all grew up Catholic, so y'all didn't feel like y'all could get divorced. You know what I'm saying? You know how Catholics, you know how Catholics be? Catholics be like, yo, you can do anything you want, but if you get divorced, you going to hell. Oh, yeah, you can suck all you want. You can feel on, groping, and even perform anal sex. But if you put that penis up in the vagina and you ain't married, you going to hell. And don't think about an abortion, because that's going to make the hell even worse. We're going to double down on your hell. It's going to be extra hot. If you get an abortion, the fire that you experience in hell is going to be more like butane than propane. Propane is hot, but it ain't like butane. Woo-wee! Blue fire, baby, blue. My brother Ansel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? And Shirley Sherrill, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley Sherrill, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. All right, so how do you get your mind right to be able to tell a child the truth without giving them the bad truth or the truth that's going to hurt longer and you know, as time goes by? Well, there's never a bad time to practice self-control. And you can never have too much self-control. You can always find room to stuff a little bit more self-control in that crowded space. So one of the ways that we can exercise self-control is to pledge to not speak the way that we're feeling at the time that we are angry or sad. Now, of course, some people are going to say, well, that's the time when you need to express yourself the most, because when you don't express yourself in those times, you know, you be feeling like some things went unsaid and then it can make you feel worse. Yes, that can be true too. But it can be additionally true. It's not alternatively true. So you can express how you feel when you're angry and when you're sad. But you need to learn where the best audience is to express that. And children probably aren't the best audience. It would probably be better to express your thoughts of anger and sadness to your dog or cat, because they seem to get it. Never once has Crystal interrupted me when I was ranting about, you know, whatever. Not one. You could talk to a therapist. You could talk to a good friend that hopefully your sadness and anger isn't directed towards. You have to utilize your resources. What you don't want to do is start yapping off at the mouth. Listen, you have parents that are so conscious of their children's emotional health that they don't want to cry in front of their kids. Shout out to all of the moms that have held back their tears in front of their kids because they didn't want their kids to grow up thinking that mommy was a crybaby or that she wasn't strong enough to handle life situations or heartbreak or losing a job or not having enough money or a utility being turned off or just hard times. It's not necessarily fair to that mother to have to go through that all by themselves. And it's not necessarily fair that she can't express her true emotions. But shout out to them for recognizing that there's a time and a place for all things. And waiting till the kids go to sleep and yelling inside of a pillow down in the basement in the little half bathroom. A yell is a yell. Shit, that shit even works on camera. I don't know if y'all could understand what I was saying, but hey, I feel better. And I wish I was lying. Shoot. I'm on some practicing what I preach shit right now. selling all right, baby. Who knew? Who knew?
Megan is thinking it is cute and funny. It's just funny, can't ask nigga song.
Woo! I said, woo! Mia says, folks don't know how their words affect a person, especially children. How do you not know that? Because every one of us was a child, and every one of us has heard some things or were told something as a child, and we were thinking, yo, that, we remember how it hurt. You ever notice that you never forget who made you feel bad as a child? You never forgot that. You never forget it, no matter whether they made it up with good that they did, whether they apologized, you never forget it. You never forget it. So if you never forgot who hurt you and how they hurt you as a child, what makes you think that you can say hurtful things to a child and think that they just gonna forget? You never forgot, but we somehow be like, ah, they was young. They don't remember all of that. Then we study psychology and we find out that even when you don't directly remember that, sometimes you dream about it. Sometimes it affects you in other ways. And we also find out that some of us are able to push painful situations out of our memory in exchange for the fantasy or the lies that we would love to tell ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And it really doesn't make anything better in the long run. Any of this sound familiar to anybody? Nah, probably just me. TK Wright says, definitely me at times. I hear you. Mia Cunningham says, man, babies know when mama isn't right. They feel mom's pain, especially when she's trying to fight it. Yeah, they know. And children suffer because of that shit. So it's at those times when, unfortunately, a parent, especially a mom, has to be as careful as possible. She might break down and cry. Sometimes you can't hold it back. But somehow she has to find a way to clean up the tears. Like, yeah, I'm mommy going through a little something right now, you know. So I got, you know, I got knocked around a little bit, but I'm going to be all right. Y'all going to be all right. We all going to be okay. I'm going to find my way through this thing. Y'all watch mommy work. Yeah, it's hard to appear strong when you may feel like you're at your weakest, but we got to do it. We got to do it. It's a lesson that we've had to learn, and it's a lesson that we have to teach. You don't have to teach them how to mask anything, but you have to teach them how to deal, how to cope, how to space things out, how to be more patient, how to time things correctly. We all got to learn that lesson. We can't, it's all dad's fault our way through their whole childhood. Even though sometimes it might be true. Sometimes it might be true. No woman should have to raise a child all by themselves when they didn't make a child all by themselves. But sometimes the truth is, mommy wanted to get pregnant on purpose. She know daddy didn't want no children. And she also know that it felt better when they didn't use condoms. Daddy knew that. Mommy knew that. Everybody involved knew that. So she might have told daddy that she was on a pill or some other form of birth control. And he didn't have to worry about a thing. You don't worry about a thing. Next thing you know, child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you gonna do. All right, y'all. Unfortunately, we can't stretch this show out longer than possible. So what we're gonna have to do is we gotta do these birthday shout outs. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious December 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special, because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Blanche Smith. Happy birthday to you, Blanche. And also Sauda Henry. Happy birthday to you. Turning 50 years old, the big 5-0. I understand how it feels. And also Rasta Queen, turning 44 years old today. And Angelia Meadows, turning 48 years old today. I'm going to give a posthumous shout out to this woman, Shauna Dennis, who would have been 42 years old today. I went by her page because every time I get my list of birthdays on my friends list, I go to their page and see if they posted in a while. If they haven't posted in a while, I think that they either left Facebook, their account might be hacked or whatever. So I've deleted probably 50 or 60 people in the past few months because their accounts weren't active anymore. I figured, yeah, I might as well go ahead and clean up the list. I'm not doing this for numbers anymore. But anyway, I looked at Shauna Dennis's wall, and I saw that she died of COVID last year. And it was so sad. It was so sad on her wall how she was begging and pleading for somebody to bring her some sea moss because she suffered from asthma. And she got COVID, so her breathing was really messed up. She was talking about how the hospital was going to incubate her if they couldn't stabilize her breathing because she was that bad off. So when she was writing this, this was like around the end of September, and she was saying how scary it was, you know, to have this condition, and she passed on October 12th. She didn't make it. It had her obituary on there, and evidently she was a very popular woman. I mean, she was born in 1980. She died at age 41. And you know what? As a matter of fact, she died at age 40 because if her birthday is today and she died in September, then she didn't make it to 41. But she had 9 kids. She had that right on her page. Mother of 9 kids. What? And I'm thinking like, so 9 children are without their mother, who had her life snatched from her because of this pandemic disease. So shout out to Shauna Dennis. Rest in peace. Rest in heaven. Peace in paradise. Also, Tiffany Godfrey turning 38 years old today. Oh, by the way, I told that story about Shauna Dennis because, you know, even to today, when people claim that COVID ain't real and all those people was just fabricated lies and all of that, man, kill that bullshit. Kill it. Stop it. You know what I mean? There may not have been as many people who died as were reported, but a lot of people died. People that I know, people that y'all know, people that everybody else in the world knows. So for people to try to write it off like, this disease ain't real as long as you don't believe it's real. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Adriana Slade turning 41 years old today. Adriana Slade just lost somebody in her life that was significant. My condolences to her. Nicole Smith, happy birthday to you. And also Victoria Brown, supporter of the Daily Go-Get-Emism, turning 50 years old today. Brown. And she's raising money for the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. All right. And last but not least, Damone DeJarnette, turning 51 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday with this glorious, glorious, glorious. December 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn, the damn, the rock out. Rock on and do the damn, rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, there's a right way to tell things, bad way to tell things. All kinds of ways to tell your queens and kings that the things that they experience in life don't always have to be bad, nasty, and trite. You can still tell the truth, and the truth can be proof that there's still good things in the world. You're not a goofy. Yo, I'm going to tell you like Snoopy. You understand what I'm talking about? Yo, we going to make it around. We going to make sure that we put the truth down. Put it down like it's supposed to be told. Truth is sold, not to be sold. Truth is made to be told. You know what I'm talking about? You know how they talking about the whole money, the game, and the things that remain the same. I'm glad that we did the show tonight, and I'm glad that we'll do it tomorrow night, too. And I'm going to make sure that we always shine bright, too. And everything's going to be all right with me as long as I have you. And I'll see y'all on the next time. Drop this shit just like Dom. And the Dom is the truth. Dom is the tell. Dom is the snitch. Dom is the life. You know, life is a bitch. But everything will be y'all bride. I said everything will be y'all bride. Yes, it will. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. Like I said, we will be back here tomorrow night. So make sure y'all come on through. Hit that like button. Make sure y'all share the show. Make sure y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. All right, so Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah.